Blog Talk Radio.
Your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click, tag, and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're exploring the topic, Can They Hear You Downtown? After watching last Tuesday's city council meeting, I am sure they can. Week after week, during the city council sessions, the speakers talk about serious issues they have here in the city of Fort Worth, and their comments appear to fall on deaf ears. Are we the people mere gadflies to them, an annoyance or a nuisance that they have to deal with as part of their job? The late Thomas Torland Cosby, a dear friend of Let's Talk Fort Worth, used to speak weekly at these city council sessions only to be called a gadfly by the Fort Worth Star-Telegram after his death because he spoke so frequently at City Hall. And that said, City Hall belongs to the people, the building, and everything in it. However, within the last 2 years, the city seems to have been taken over by some people who hate hearing from the people. Every action they have taken since being there reflects that. The question is, was Eva Camacho right when she said the people need to exercise the power of a recall? Our topic tonight, can they hear you downtown? Y'all, that's what we're talking about tonight. We're about to go in. I see Christopher Marino and Adrian are on the line. Good evening, guys. How are you all?
Good evening.
Hey, Terry.
Hey. Listen, y'all heard the intro. Do you agree or don't you agree?
They don't hear, but guess what? They don't hear, they don't see, but they're going to feel that Mike Tyson punch out, you know. Then people from Echo Heights came with the quote. They said, you know, talking about the comprehensive, she was referring to all of their plans that, you know, that always tend to marginalize people on the east side and all of the disparities and dishonesty going on. She came up in her speech and she said, you know, I'm not advocating violence, but I'm going to quote Mike Tyson, said, because it's coming to a boil where everybody comes with a plan until you punch them in the mouth, you know.
You're talking about Latidia. I forgot her last name. Everybody calls her Miss T, and she's one of the people that's on that Echo Heights .6 board where they're trying to get things changed over in Echo Heights. Adrian, your thoughts?
Well, Terry, I think with this conversation that you began, I think a lot of people don't when you spoke of traumas, I think it'll be, if you could, because, see, I met Thomas, I had a brief moment with Thomas, you know, a brief time with Thomas. I think you had a little more time with Thomas. So I want people to understand that a lot of things change, and this doesn't take, not to take from anybody else who's been coming down there, you know, addressing council, but a lot of things change. That they used to do things, they changed them because of Thomas. And I'm not saying, and I want people to know that I'm not saying it in a disparaging or bad way, but that just shows you the power and consistency of an individual who was not only just coming down there, but he was, you know, he was knowledgeable of everything he was addressing. And I think what this current council is, I think because they sit in those seats and they, Not only the degrees they have, a lot of them have, but I think because they sit in those seats that they think they are smarter than the fifth grader, you know. So I say that to say this: are they listening? Again, what Chris just spoke on. I think a lot of people think we are just talking or we're just ranting and raving, but for those people who go there with those thoughts, the first thing I ask those individuals, what are you doing to make a difference? Are you involving yourself? Because think about this. Think about the consent agenda. Now, basically, they just vote everything through without no discussion. They don't even act like they don't even go through the motions no more. They just vote it through. If you are a taxpayer, if you are concerned about your livelihood, then this should be important to you. But a lot of people, again, I guess their livelihoods are not affected by any of this. So I don't think they're listening. Not only are they not listening, but they are like basically putting it in your face that they're not listening. They don't care.
But that's what I say about this new movement that's going on. It's not unique to Fort Worth. It's happening. It's kind of it's more suppressed in Fort Worth than it is anywhere else. But here's the thing. Here's how I see it is this is an opportunity and it's gaining momentum. And if people show up to tell it, it's freedom of expression. Okay, and expressionism is painting a picture that is helping everybody to see, because that's what we have. We're talking about, do they hear? We're talking about what goes on in the city council chambers, but let's talk about what doesn't go on in the city, because what's going on in the city council chambers with this all of these dissident people coming in there with their grievances is a product of the neglect and the derelict of the council and the city for decades, because you got and so they come to their dais and you got people showing up in Echo Heights and you've got a council, you know, the toxic tour, you got, it's all over the news, it's all over, and you've got city council members and a mayor who hasn't even been through the neighborhood until recently, like a week ago. And that's everywhere.
Listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth, and tonight we're talking about the topic, can they hear you downtown? If you have a question or a comment, the call-in number is 515-605-9321, then press 1, we'll connect that. We're going to go to the phone lines, 817-718. Good evening, you're on Let's Talk Fort Worth, 817-718. Hello? Let's see. Okay.
Sorry, can y'all hear me?
Hi. Okay, I can hear you now. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Fine.
Good. You know, I just hopped on and I was listening, and our neighborhood is, our residents are pretty new to the conversation downtown. Mm-hmm. Our kind of situation with city council started with a rezoning of a church. Some developers came in and wanted to rezone it into high density for 60 plus units. And our community was very upset because there was no transparency at the time with the previous neighborhood association president leadership. And we couldn't get any answers. So on May 9th, we went down to city council with 550 signatures, 30 plus people in the audience. We had about 8 speakers speak in opposition to the zoning change, stating that it was about the zoning. It wasn't about the organization, which was a veterans group. And the only people that spoke in support were the developers and their realtor. And there was one person that we can't correlate if they lived in the neighborhood or not. But for the most part, everyone that spoke in support was financially tied to the deal. And it was a terrible experience. We all went in there believing that with 550 signatures, it was enough for the city council to stop and ask questions, address our concerns. And that's not what happened. Elizabeth Beck went into her own presentation for the developers. Mayor Parker called the developers back up and gave them an unlimited amount of time to present this presentation, which wasn't substantial. There was no site plan. There was no substantial data on how they're going to help these veterans. It was just a lot of fluff, a lot of, we're an amazing group and we've been here for years. And people left the chambers crying. You know, people had outbursts in the audience when they saw the unfair advantage of time that was given to the developer. And our community was abruptly made aware of what the city council has been doing. And then we started listening to other zoning cases and other people going forward and speaking about their situation. And our community is just trying to figure out how can we hold a city council and our representatives accountable if they've already made decisions behind closed doors. Because that day, the people that left crying in the chambers and the 30 of us that were sitting out there, it was apparent, it was a consensus that the city council had already made up their mind. So my question to everyone is, that's a dangerous precedent to set. So what's going to happen when it's Ryan Place, when it's Tanglewood, when it's a wealthier neighborhood? It doesn't stop there. That attitude of, we know better, so we're going to make the decisions without even considering your objections, is just a dangerous precedent for all of Fort Worth.
Let me ask you,
yes, ma'am.
You're talking about the Rosemont community, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what's the demographics of Rosemont? Just based
working class, mostly Hispanic. Our poverty level is about 31%.
Oh, wow.
We do have several undocumented community members, so we don't have as much voting clout of other neighborhoods. And, you know, we're actively going to work to change that. More voter education, getting people more registered. Just because they can't vote doesn't mean their children, once they turn 18, can't vote, you know. So we are in District 11. Let me take that back. Half of our community is in District 11, and the other half is in District 9. And on the May 9th meeting, the church that we were speaking about sat in District 11. So it was just an atrocity because we were unrepresented. That situation was completely unrepresented on the council when they made their decision. And here recently, we found out that Councilwoman Beck sent out an invite to all neighborhood leaderships within District 9, inviting them except our neighborhood association.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you go to Las Familias, the Rosemont Facebook page, you'll see the post. The president, a neighboring neighborhood association, knows what we're going through, was concerned, forwarded the email to our president. So he emailed Elizabeth Beck's office asking why were we excluded. She responded back saying it was because only a small sliver of commercial is in District 9, and it's not true. If you look at the map, I think the residents we have in District 9 are probably equal to or greater than Shawclark, probably equal to Ryan Place. And she hasn't responded. Her office has not responded at all. So we don't know if we're going to be shut out of that meeting. Sorry.
There's two things real quick. I'll be real quick. You know, I know exactly what you're talking about, the meeting. I watched it, and here's the icing. Oh, well, here's what really makes it bad is these people were there being cordial, taking the time out of their life to organize and to come to the community. Like they beg, they talk the talk, but then they don't. So they're out there projecting this narrative that, oh, we need engagement, all a neighborhood association, encouraging all of that. Well, these people show up with very valid grievances and well-reasoned concerns. And, you know, after a minute, you can see the temperature rising on the dais. And then about halfway through the presentations and then definitely towards the end, what you get is this condescending snobbery and just complete gaslighting going on from the elected officials of this city who are supposed to be representing those people who are out there. And you know, it just goes on and on. Fort Worth is a real – they're actually, according to the Open Meetings Act and all of the laws that govern the Texas government code about these things, they aren't supposed to respond. All of this stuff that they talk about, your decorum and you get it all the time from every single time somebody says something critical of somebody. If it just gets under somebody's skin up there on the dais, you got one, two, or three of them just lashing out, and that's illegal because that's your time, your First Amendment right, and all of this stuff that they talk about, decorum and these rules. Those rules apply to council member to council member, this thing about you won't make personal attacks, you won't do this, you won't do that. Now, I understand if somebody is up there being completely vulgar and disorderly. However, I've rarely seen anybody really get off the rails. I don't have any example. But just as soon as somebody, oh, point of order, that's not true. It's like a bunch of kids. It's disgusting to see that out of somebody who's a lawyer.
Well,
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
No, I was going to say, you know, anyone can watch the May 9th council meeting, and I wish I had my computer in front of me so I could tell you what minute, but you could witness just that bar zoning case. And when when Mayor Parker called the developer back up and gave them an unlimited amount of time, the city council meeting is supposed to run with Robert's rules. So someone in the audience did yell out point of order. So, but that's against the rules too. The audience is not supposed to yell out to intervene But what are you supposed to do when you're blatantly watching the city council break the Roberts Rules of Order with giving an unfair advantage of time? So our community was painted as anti-veteran, veteran haters. It was just such a horrible situation to paint an entire community, a Hispanic community, as veteran haters when that's not what we were saying. We were concerned with being dropped in the middle of a neighborhood with no UR buffer, no site plan from the developer, nothing substantial, and no one took a pause. And Mayor Parker, she said something, and I hope in hindsight, I want to hope that she realized how disrespectful it was to our community. She said, I would be happy to have that in my community in North Richley.
So, oh, yeah, she did.
From a woman,
yes.
A
yes,
woman
she did.
From in the most powerful position within the city, a woman of privilege, a person of privilege, economic privilege,
mm-hmm.
power privilege, to make that statement about an entire community and pretty much gaslight us that mm-hmm. our concerns were not valid. You know, that was our first experience. And my fear moving forward is anytime we go to city council and we have grievances about what's happening in our community, are we going to be dismissed? Like I'm witnessing, you know, Miss Letitia, I didn't catch her last name, but she was amazing at this last city council mm-hmm. meeting, what she was saying. And it's like, there's other communities, there's other minority communities, working class communities that are reiterating the same things that we're experiencing. So what is it going to take for us to be viewed objectively, all working class minority communities? What is it going to take for city council and Mayor Parker to not make decisions behind closed doors? Because with our zoning case, if you watch it, when we walk into the chambers, Elizabeth Beck gets up and runs over and whispers into Mayor Parker's ear before we even start presenting.
Wow. So tell us again, so what was your issue was with the veterans home coming into your community?
It was that they were applying for 60, high density 60 mm-hmm. at a church that backs up to homes, across the street mm-hmm. from homes, across the street from the park. And there was no information we could find on this veterans group. And their website talked all about homelessness. And there was a 2017 study that said, you know, homeless veterans, 80% of them have drug dependency issues. So a lot of the time, these charitable programs come into the neighborhood, and do they really have the resources to help these people get back on their feet? And then who's expected to bear the brunt of the consequences, or a poorly managed program or a poorly maintained building? It's the residents around it. So our issue was high density. We went in front of Zoning and Land Use on April 12th, and even the Zoning and Land Use Commissioners were very concerned with the location. And they asked the developer, how many units are you going to do? They said 20 units. So one of the commissioners, mm-hmm. the first thing they said was, why are you applying for 60 then? There's a lower zoning that's appropriate.
Ooh.
And they didn't have an answer. They didn't have an mm-hmm. answer. Then the zoning commissioners offered them an extension. They're like, you know, do you want an extension so you can do a proper community engagement and get the neighborhood, like discuss with them? They didn't want it. They didn't want the lower zoning. They wanted, and it was denied. It was recommended for denial by the Zoning and Land Use commissioners, who had amazing questions, and they told them the site is problematic for what you want to do. It needs to be tied more to commercial. And just in equity, let's just talk about real estate equity, right? So if they bought this building for $1.5 million, only one use, single family residential because it was a church, how much equity mm-hmm. do you think they gained now that it's high density 60 plus units? So they can turn around and sell it to 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they can turn around and sell it to a developer who can do an apartment complex. And our neighborhood doesn't have the infrastructure. We have streetlights out. We have streets that are flooding. We don't have the infrastructure for high density. And not to mention that they're going to go up 3 or 4 stories. Now the neighbors that live directly behind it and around it have no privacy. So,
another aspect.
It was the density.
It sounds like you all are saying, though, that Elizabeth Beck overall underserved your community as a council person. And, you know, with the closing of the library without any notification, I understand they said something about a tax abatement for the new businesses that are coming in there, but they haven't made any provisions for the older businesses. Can you speak on that?
I wish I could speak on it in depth. I can tell you, I mean, I've lived here my whole life, and we've always kind of been kind of the last thought in whoever was representing us. But currently, you know, Elizabeth Beck, we were District 9, and the minute we were, half of us was put in District 11, it just from my experience recently, it's like we're being excluded. There's definitely some exclusionary behavior. Several of us went to a Ryan Place meeting where we witnessed her there talking to them about the zoning that she initiated for Ryan Place to protect them from developers coming in and doing high density. And when I tell you that, I've never felt like a second-rate citizen, but I did in that meeting, because you should have heard her. This is y'all's neighborhood. Whatever y'all want to do, how much time do you need? Because the president said, this is not enough time for us to decide on if a community wants this. How much time do you need? And she's like, oh, you can have, how much time do you need? And he said November. And she was willing to accommodate that. But her behavior in that meeting and how pleasant she was and how accommodating she was to this neighborhood association compared to the way she's treated us, it's just apparent. It screams in your face. And again, the latest example of being excluded from the neighborhood leadership meeting that she's hosting. Like, again, anybody can go to Las Familias, the Rosemont, and see the email thread there.
But see, something's going on, it appears to me, with the way they're running these meetings now, that even the one that's coming up this weekend with the mayor and Mayor Pro Tem, you know, it's RSVP. You can't just show up. You know, initially on Tuesday's meeting, Mayor Pro Tem didn't even want to tell people what time it was because she wanted you to call an RSVP before you would even get the time of the meeting. So it seems like they're trying to, in my opinion, cherry pick their audiences for these meetings, which I don't think makes any sense. If you are a leader, you know, in a leadership position in the city, you should want to serve all the people and not cherry pick your audiences when you do go out into the community the few times a year that you do.
And Carrie, an observation, Carrie, because you all are public servants, right? We put you in those positions. Those spaces that you all are using are not private. They are public unless someone has a private facility that they allowed you to utilize, and they can control who can come in and come out. But for you to say RSVP, because you know when you say ask questions, whether you have an open forum where people ask questions, open mic, or they write questions, you know, like you say, there are certain individuals in there who know how to speak to the problem. And you know those questions. Once those thoughts get in people's minds, then you have to answer to who, what, when, where, why, and how you're going to do this. So, like, they are cherry picking. They are cherry picking. Mm-hmm. They know who possibly going to show up at these meetings. They know. And it's a small fraction of the people who've been addressing this council. So. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that we have something if we just keep moving forward with it, but it's going to take us coming together on a stronger unified front. And like you say, we're going to have to make an example out of this council. I think the only way we can make an example out of this council, even if it doesn't pass, we got to put one up for recall, see what the voters say. If they get reelected, okay. But we had to put one up for recall. And that'll send a message to the rest of them.
I think Evan Camacho recommended that. So what?
Oh, I was going to ask a question just for everyone on the call. Do you all, and again, the residents in our community are fairly new to this fight, right? And we are learning how things are working downtown. So I wanted to know, as a collective, does everyone feel that the city council members all have the same attitude and approach as far as exclusion and cherry picking? And do you think it's tainted the entire council, or is it just one or two members that are pushing a stronger narrative, right? And then there's maybe groupthink involved where the other council members can kind of see it's probably not copacetic, kind of see it's not probably not ethically or correct, but they just go along with it. Like, what do you all believe?
I believe that the central theme behind all this whole problem has to do with what I call the 777 main money train game, okay? And if you really dig down and under the surface and you dig down into the profiles and backgrounds and the dealings and connections of all of the people on city council now and a lot of the people on the city council who have been on city council in over the past two decades or so, you will find that the campaign donations and the money train from the Bass buildings, the Bass family, and a couple of other millionaires and billionaires in town, okay? There's no way, if you really look at the history, you know, at a certain time, it's kind of like there's just no way that everybody gets into office based on, if you looked at this year's election, you will see the same, all of these individuals that are on the downtown Eaton boards.
Name them, Chris.
I can't.
No. What I'm saying
Meadows,
is because she.
Bill,
she no.
Meadows.
Hold on. Chris, hold on. Because she said they are new to this conversation, so
yeah,
they're trying to get.
Okay.
As far as the money train, the council members. Name the council members. Who on that council is
Gina? All of them. Every single one of them. Gina Bivens. The other big one. Gina Bivens has taken money from these PACs and the POA. You know, she's got a history of that. POA is a big deal too. But the Bass family, they've got like three or four shadow PACs where they give the Bass family individual members give money to them, and then it turns into the good government fund, and then it turns into this thing, and it's just a big trap. But all of these money, all of the candidates are getting 80% of their donations or more from the same 10 people in both cities.
So,
that's just how it goes.
So out of the 11, which one do we take, throw the baby out with the bad water? Which out of the 11, is it any one of them that we can spare? Any one of the councilmen can we spare?
I could, honestly, in my research, I could spare Nettles because Nettles has a minor little. There's one that I was kind of suspect, but I don't think the allegation or it's not. I don't think it's really significant in, and it's not one of the other ones. It's a unique player that's big time in Fort Worth, but it's not anything even amount wise or anything. I don't really see the quid pro quo factor going on there. It may be, but okay. So he's playing his game tight, but all of these other ones. I've just seen the way in their campaign donations and then the way that they vote. And I will give some credit out to – I will go ahead and give some credit to Williams, Derek Williams, because I have noticed him being pretty thoughtful and aware of what's going on. And he will recuse himself on occasion, you know. But Maddie Parker, her husband is the Fort Worth Club, one of the top dog Fort Worth Club board members and stuff. His firm is a government lobbying firm called Longbow Partners, and they represent the corporate interests of several major corporations in this city, you know, that do dealings with BNSF, that do dealings with the city, and it's just gross. So there's no way to say that there's no pillow talk going on there, you know.
I will say this. Go ahead.
I was about to say, as far as their communities is concerned, Rosemont. What if you notice what Beck had just did? What Beck just did? She's looking for an alliance. She realized that you all have on the ropes. So don't let the. I love what you said about some of us are undocumented, but we're gonna teach the youth that's coming up, who are going to be 18. We're going to bring them aboard because we're not going to let them stop our power. What Beck did at the last meeting, she's trying to get the LGBTQ community now aligned on her. She realizes she got some heat coming at her, so she's looking for an alliance now. That's why she did the that most recent thing with the badge thing. So I want you to know that you all don't let up on Beck. Y'all have to keep going, and we behind you. Even though I'm not in your district, I'll lend my support to anything you all are trying to do. But know that Beck is on the ropes. But she's aligned herself, and nothing to the LG. I'm not disparaging the LGBTQ community, but they have to recognize the politics thing. That woman don't care about you. She just used a moment it's to benefit her. Okay.
Go ahead, Cole.
Real quick.
Go ahead, Cole.
There's something else that I'll get with you on the side, but I'm going to touch on it real quick. The people, the Hispanic community, and I'm sure some of them know out there, if I mention some things, it's going to ring a bell with you. But the other thing is, too, not so much with this city council, it's the core nefarious element downtown, which is the shadow government at the Fort Worth Club. And what I'm telling you is there used to be a community – there was a community called that had a nickname in Spanish called La Corte. And it was over there on Bluff Street they called it La Corte because it was right in the shadow of the old courthouse building on Bluff Street. And it was a predominantly Hispanic community in the 80s and 90s. There was some problems there. But that whole neighborhood got bulldozed down, and those people got displaced under the same kind of process that you're seeing going on. We saw the same thing happening, like you said, in Fairmount. Over there on Magnolia, in the near south side on 8th Avenue. And you see the same thing going on. And this is what they do. So they redistricted 11. It just fits the same historical pattern of how the Fort Worth gentrification model is. They neglect, and they neglect, and then they isolate you. And now here you are all bunched together. That whole community, not necessarily Rosemont, but that Hemp Hill corridor where Seminary is and Worth Heights, that used to be, that Seminary South Mall used to be the hub of the black community. And Hemp Hill and Rosedale, that near south side over there by Rosedale, that was the hub of the black community. And they did the same thing. They just let it rot, and then they did the same thing. So get into your history. Get in, talk to your old folks about some things, and get the people aware, because this is what they're doing to you guys. They're trying to drive you out of your house. Yeah,
the old timers from our neighborhood, you know, growing up, I heard it. I heard, they want to take our land. They want to take our land. Like that is a consensus that I have heard my entire youth growing up from old timers in the neighborhood that were active in the neighborhood association. And the thing is, when people hear about the zoning case with the veterans, they don't understand that it's not an isolated incident. This is not a one zoning case. You've got to zoom out and look at the macro level. Fairmont used to be Centro. It used to be Centro. That's what it was called. Now it's unaffordable to anybody from the working class. At the Ryan Place meeting, when Elizabeth Beck was there and they were hosting this meeting about how they were going to do this zoning for all of Ryan Place to protect them from the investors. You know, she talked about how she wanted to protect the areas around Ryan Place, but the only place left for developers and investors to go is south towards us. We're the only little bit left. If they can't go north of Ryan Place or east of Ryan Place or west of Ryan Place, we're all that's left. So if people know the history and realize that we're the last, us, Hemp Hill Heights, Worth Heights, like we're the last working class, one of the last, not all of them, within the inner city, right?
But I'm going to tell you there's...
Our land is cheap. Our land is...
Go ahead.
And that's one of the developers for the... And I'll give you this. After the zoning and land use, one of the developers were very upset that they got recommended for denial. And one of them stormed down the hallway stating how they just lost the deal. And they would rather take it to another side of town. So we asked, why don't you take it to another side of town? He said, the lots aren't cheap enough. So you want to talk about charity and you want to talk about helping people, but at the end of the day, It was a real estate deal. It was a real estate transaction with no benefit to the existing community. And they kept driving it down our throat that thousands upon thousands of veterans are coming, and apparently they were only coming to our neighborhood. They weren't getting it spread out throughout Fort Worth. But that there was nothing – how was that – our community needs to have a full cup before we can pour into others, like many working-class communities. If we don't even have streetlights, if we don't have security, if we don't even have proper roads, how can we support an influx of more people? You know, Tobias Place right here on Hemp Hill, I think, is going to do like 300 units. The old Our Lady of Victory School is going to be 300 some odd units as well. And I don't believe that the poor nuns at the location they have were even aware, because when they saw the site plans, they were like, where did this come from? Well, the site plans came from the NEZ application. And then the housing, the seminary housing, where the city originally had announced that they wanted to do 160 units, half between Safe Haven and half for homeless people. We've been trying to get a presentation here in our community, but we've been told by Tara Perez's office that things have changed. The city is reassessing what they're going to do with that seminary housing. And that's why we can't have a presentation right now. Right. The original presentation she gave said they had an option period that ended at the end of May. So we're being, our little neighborhood, and we're being surrounded by high density. And this one veteran housing zoning is not isolated. You really got to zoom out. You really got to look at it from a macro level, look at the history, and realize this is how people get pushed out. This is what happened in Austin. This is the working class, inner city communities, people of color were pushed out. Now Austin's become unaffordable even for the middle class. So what's going to happen to Fort Worth? Like, where are we supposed to go?
Here's what I'm going to tell you, too. Go ahead.
Let me jump in for a second. But gotcha. Didn't someone within your own community kind of sell y'all out downtown? Or
do
so it appeared?
Say it again?
Didn't someone within you all's own community kind of sell you all out downtown?
The previous neighborhood association president was not responding to anybody. So, like, when we found out about the zoning case because of the sign in the yard, you know, the first place you go to is your neighborhood association. So, like, I have an email that was not responded to, a DM that was not responded to. And then we started speaking to more neighbors, and nobody knew about it. Nobody knew who the neighborhood association was. Nobody knew who the president was. Nobody knew about the zoning case. Like, more people started to come forward stating that he was just non-responsive. And, you know, we wish he had just done the right thing. Honestly, the questions were, what do you know about this development? You know, is there a consensus? What did you tell the city? And, you know, the community voted to remove him. They voted to remove him as president because there were other bylaw violations. So when we met on May 9th before city council, he spoke in support of the project and it was like, if you're going to represent a community, you need to be objective, and your job is to pass the information along. So a lot of people in the community felt like there was some gatekeeping going along. There was information was arriving to them and then kind of dying off. Nobody was being notified of anything. So
this is somebody who ran for city council and almost won if Beck had not won, FYI. Say what?
And yeah. I had heard another aspect of that, too, was that there was actual legit, that somebody tapped in with open records or got a leak of some kind that was saying this same guy that wasn't communicating and wasn't coordinating with the neighborhood and the constituents had a whole lot of backroom meetings and communication going on with Vic to advance this thing, you know.
Wow.
I can't speak on that because I don't know. What I can tell you is that so our community's complaint was lack of transparency. He was non-responsive. he told me to my face that the veterans group only contacted him once. But they went before zoning and land use saying that they met with city leadership multiple times, that they had 6 to 7 meetings with the community's leadership and with I don't know who that was. They just said kind of a blanket statement, city leadership. So then when the veterans group hosted an open house, we asked the veterans group again, how many times did you communicate specifically with the previous president? And they said, I think twice, with one of the board members being in constant text communication with him about things.
Wow.
So that's where our community was like, why does it feel like we, what, no, why doesn't it feel, why are we being excluded? Why is a decision being made by one person over a community with 4,600 residents?
Ching ching money bags.
Yeah. Wow. So that was a big issue. The community was really upset. And at the meeting where he was removed, the community was very, very upset because it was a jam-packed agenda and there were two presentations that were going to go on. It was the veteran housing presentation and then the homeless housing presentation. And he began the meeting by stating that there was not going to be any questions allowed. There was not going to be any commentary allowed, that each presenter was going to present and then he was going to adjourn the meeting and separate the groups, right? The veterans were going to go on one side, the homeless people were going to homeless housing. Seminaries Project were going to go on the other side, and then if people had questions, they had to privately go off to the side. And that was the turning point. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. The neighborhood was so upset that they were being censored.
Who was this president? I'm in the dark. Who was it?
Let me say this. I don't want to put her on the spot if she doesn't want to answer that. He ran in 2021.
After
Elizabeth Beck. Yeah. Had she not won, he would have been the winner.
So let me ask you this. Prior to all of this with this veterans development, this, that, or the other, Had you all been a part of other discussions prior to this, or was this the first time you all just had come to the knowledge of things going on in the community when they making decisions? What are other times you all were shut out of discussions, or was this the only time?
Well, no. So there's a couple of community members that had attended meetings regularly and they, but this was the catalyst, right? This was the big situation that we just weren't informed. And, all he had to do was answer. All he had to do was say, hey, here's the group. This is what it is. But he kept saying that it's because he didn't have all the information yet to present to the community, but when was that going to happen? Because we made it all the way to city council without. And then, this developer didn't do any presentations before zoning and land use April 12th, right? There was no presentations. They were offered the offer of an extension in order for them to do proper community engagement. They didn't want to. After that, we didn't hear anything until, again, a concerned neighbor in a neighboring neighborhood association said that the Hemp Hill Collaborative had it on the agenda that this veterans group was going to present. So our neighborhood's only representation at that time was this ex-president, because he's the president over both. So there was not going to be anybody there from our community to hear this presentation. We went and we asked him, why are you presenting here? There's nobody in the community present at this meeting. And the developer said, well, we were told to be here. And they looked at him and he just, there was nothing he could say. So we were upset because they're like, the community is the people that need to know about what this program is. What are your intentions? How long are you going to be in the community? So we felt like the purpose of having them present there was to garner support for the project before it was ever presented to the community.
In 2021, I think he said he was over 9 neighborhood associations or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Does that sound about right?
I don't know. I don't know. As far as I know, it was just the Las Familias of Rosemont and the Hemphill Collaborative, which is strange because it's not in the neighborhood database. You know, it's not in the neighborhood database. The old one is, but it shows they haven't had it. So I'm just kind of confused on who that organization is. But, you know, our community, we just wanted transparency. That's all. We just wanted to be a part of the conversation. And like I was going to say, that Hemphill Corridor meeting, the developer said that the very next day they were going to do an open house. So we were very upset. We're like, there are no notices been given. There's an open house. You intend to have an open house tomorrow. No one in the community has been notified. And so they postponed it, I think, to the following week. And then the following week, they gave out a 30-minute notice.
Mm.
And we went, only six people showed up to this open house in a community of 4,600 people. Only six people came to this community. And I showed the developers, look, we all got 30 minutes notice that you were going to be here.
Whoa.
So it seemed very orchestrated, right? So you want to talk about cherry picking and how only certain people are going to get emails, only certain people are going to get invites, only certain people are going to be included. And it seems like only people that follow the narrative, right? So if there's anyone who's not going to follow the narrative, who's going to actually ask questions, it seems like there's a consensus to exclude.
And that's the big deal. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay, somebody's got some banging in there.
I know. Ask me why they have to pull out a hammer the minute I'm about to go inside. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I was trying to isolate. What's your government for? Okay, it's your call. So, you know, so was Peralta surprised when you all asked him to, like, step down or you got rid of him? Was he surprised?
I believe so. He left very abruptly afterwards. I don't know why people have to be excluded from a conversation, and it just felt like that's what was happening. And he still went before city council and spoke in support of this project, knowing how many signatures we had, knowing that the consensus of a large part of the neighborhood was they just didn't want high density. That's all it was. No high density. I'm an original member of the church that used to be there. I'm sorry, I'm a member of the original church that used to be there. And they, when they sold that church to Greater Cities, it was imperative to them to maintain their legacy in the community as a church. So I personally do not believe that they would have wanted it sold for this purpose. They would have wanted it sold, kept as a church, as a community center, something that that contributes directly to the community.
Wow. Okay, Chris.
Real quick, I want to clean up the misconception and the gas part of the city and these bad actors gaslighting campaign, because they really in that meeting and in all of the stuff in orbit around here, they're trying to portray people as being anti-veteran or this, that, whatever. But these people are outside. I don't know, Peralta, he broke Army regulations showing up in politics, doing politics in his uniform. That was completely outrageous. And anyway, here's the aspect. If you've been in the military like I have, and I know that Ricardo Avitia was a Marine, and I think somebody else, was it you? Somebody else was from in the military too, that was speaking for the Rosemont people. And if you've been active in the military, you know, you do the deductive reasoning. And I'm not knocking down people that need help, or I'm not trying to knock anybody down a notch or be judgmental and everything. But this campus, when you're talking about homeless veterans transitioning, okay, from the military to the civilian world, that is automatic. If you are ETSing, retiring from the military, or ending your term of service in the military on honorable terms, then you will – typically not be in that situation. There's a in-house in the military transition program that stations you. I just have a highly suspect notion that this whole facility was being tailored for the people who are getting chaptered out exactly for misconduct or various bad things, you know, that really you don't want them hanging out on the sidewalk while your kids are trying to walk to school and write, you know. It's just not proper. So there's no anti-veteran thing going on here. It's the controlled narrative, and we're not getting the transparency that you need to be a wise decision maker.
I quickly want to say, you know, if you are within the Rosemont community, I want to know what's going to happen when these veterans that are obviously struggling, they need help. There's issues there. Again, there's...
She cut out.
So what's going to happen when they hear the multiple gunshots in the middle of the night? What's going to happen on Easter when they see that park full to the brim of lowriders, loud music, hustle and bustle? We're a vivacious community, and
your phone is going out. Did we lose you? Color.
20 units, okay. You can absolutely that's dignified. You can actually take care of 20 veterans in a dignified little bit. The only thing we know is that they were going to do a communal kitchen. So you're going to do 60 units with a communal kitchen. And like that, to me, that's not dignified. If you want to honor our veterans and help them and really help them to get back on our feet, then why would you jam them like sardines into a facility? Or now you're going to tear it down and build it up, and it's going to be 3-4 stories in the neighborhood.
It was like you said, it was a real estate deal. It was a backroom deal. Somebody was getting their pockets greased, because I'm going to tell you pragmatically, and it wouldn't be that much of a different price range for the lots or whatever, but if you're going to build, to me, the perfect ideal spot, and there's plenty of open space in the area to develop, is over there, and this was mentioned in the meeting, move them over there by the Veterans Hospital where they can get the veteran services and coordination that they need. And also, if these are veterans in transition, they can get the job training right there across the street from the Veterans Hospital at the TCC South Campus. And there's space for them there.
Wow.
There's all kinds of community services there.
We got to wrap up. But Colin, thank you for calling in tonight. Is there anything we can do to help you all? To be honest with you, I think Eva Camacho put something very interesting on the table when she said, recall Elizabeth Beck. Is that a serious conversation that's taking place in you all's community?
I believe it is. It's definitely a conversation that's happening. It's just, you know, our other minority groups, let's just say, let's go to the LGBTQ community. Are they going to understand, or are they going to take it? Is it going to be, or I'm afraid it's going to be painted into it being against them. And it's not that. This should not be a scarcity mindset. There's enough room at that table for each of us. And all our community is asking, and I'm hearing from other communities too, is a seat at the table. All of us want a seat at the table with the same respect that the LGBTQ community has been shown by Elizabeth Beck, Ryan Place. Like, that's all we want, is the same dignity, the same respect, and a seat at the table. So if it proceeds forward for recall, how quickly is it going to turn into that? Like, I'm wondering if other groups will see what it is that we're fighting for, because life is not fair, and things don't always work out for you. But when you show up to city council with 550 signatures and 30 people in the audience, regardless if it's LGBTQ or Black or Mexican or any other minority group, it merits a pause. It merits a pause where at least one council person says, hey, let's slow down for a second and, like, really listen to these concerns.
Bob Woolsey was on the line a few minutes ago, and he could probably answer that question because he said some things about recall many times before in the past. And I think it takes, like, I don't remember if he said 10% or 10,000 signatures. I've forgotten. But however, I guess I think it is 10%. So if you got 100,000 people in your district, then I think it's going to take 10%, which would be like 10,000 signatures to get that person out of office. But, you know, at the rate Elizabeth Beck is going, I don't think it's going to be very hard to get there. So the only thing I'm confused about is, in order to recall a certain person from a certain district, is it only the people within that district that gets to vote on their recall, or is it the whole city? Does anybody
know? It's only the people in that voting element.
Okay, and do they have to be registered? And is it only registered voters?
Let me tell you exactly the words that you're trying to get to, Carrie. Okay, to get a recall, you have to have 10% of the active, not the total registered voters, the active registered voters, because they got a law now. If you don't vote after 2 years, if you don't have a voting record for 2 years, you are an inactive registered voter. So the rule is you got to get 10% signatures of the active voting, registered voters in whatever component. So District 9. It would not be a citywide. It would be District 9. That's it. That's the rule.
Wow.
If you were going to recall the mayor, then you would need the citywide.
Mm-hmm. You say what caller?
Speaking on our citizens, so they can pay property taxes, and we know they can't vote, but they still pay property taxes. And if they're buying a home with an I-10 loan, they are paying the highest interest rate there is out of all.
Oh, wow.
So, and they've got to put the highest down payment down. It's almost like buying an investment property. So for our undocumented people that are buying a home in that manner, they're paying the premium price to be homeowners. They cannot homestead a property. So they're paying whatever the property tax bill is, that's what it is. And if the city, if CAD wants to go up on their appraised value 20, 30, 40, 50%, they have no choice. So the conversation is here. They can't register to vote, and they can't vote. But does that mean they're paying all those property taxes and they don't have a say-so in recalling someone, or they don't have a say-so in what property rights they may have, zoning changes that are going to go around their community? So that's a broader conversation, but – knowing that it's got
you're in and out.
Sorry.
Okay, now we can hear you. Okay, you said, repeat what you just said.
Put that again.
Your phone is acting up. Okay, for whatever reason. Ain't that something, y'all, when it gets to the good part, then the phone acts up. Try it one more time, and we got to move on.
That it's right, one more discouraging. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me now? Okay. It's just discouraging to know that the rule is.
Okay, yo.
Because that means you. Did I cut out again?
Yeah, keep cutting you out. See it real fast.
It's probably the Fort Worth way.
Yeah.
It's discouraging to know that it has to be a consensus of active registered voters, because that means we have all these people paying property taxes, but they don't have a say-so on their representation.
And allegedly, according to the city, only about 10% of the whole city votes anyway. So making recall even that much tougher to happen. But you know what I say, y'all? Put it into effect just so they get the message. Listen,
yes.
Ain't nobody safe downtown if you don't do your job. FYI. But thank you, caller. You've been so informative tonight. We hope that this isn't your last time calling in.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Y'all, listen, that was some good information about what's going on over there in the Rosemont community. And shame on you, Mr. Peralta. For what you did to those people over there, But I remember, y'all, I remember so well when he ran in 2021, he said something to the effect that he was the president of, like, 9 neighborhood associations. And I was thinking, wow, you know, this guy's, like, really, you know, out there helping his community, you know, wink, wink. So very, very interesting. But, you know, Rosemont community to me seems to be very vocal now. Even like the arts community came out Tuesday night. That was crazy. I mean, 54 speakers, you know, just like they said, 500 signatures, you know, with Rosemont. And then here you are, 54 speakers the other night concerning the arts community building on Geddes. I mean,
yes.
I just don't even get it. You spoke on that, Adrian. What were your thoughts?
No, so, you know, outside, okay, so, you know, they have been having just a brief background. They, you know, they've been having meetings. They've been having these meetings. But the first meeting I went to carry, I was taken aback because old boy Firestone, he was the chair of that meeting. He was the chair. So that was the first sign. That was the first sign to me that, oh, yeah, they just going through the motions with this, with the arts community. They just going through the motions with them. He's the chair. We know he's on his way out. The final thing was whatever the task force decides, that's what it's going to be. They went through all these presentations, blah, 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 blah. My thing is this. At the end of the day, like the arts community say, nobody knows nobody knows what's going to come of it, because you all are saying, like they said, the neglect of that building, they try to put the neglect of the building over the years up on the tenants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they made sure when they shared that contract, they highlighted the area, even at the meetings. When I was at their first meeting, they made sure to remind the new president, basically they were just throwing jabs. They put the contract up there, and they highlight their part that says the tenants were responsible for the maintenance. So basically saying, it's like they saying the tenants are the ones who allow this building to go down when it's not the case. Y'all haven't been funding this place. Y'all have been neglecting this place. Y'all haven't been giving this place the considerations. Y'all been giving every other place around that area the consideration. Mm-hmm. So my perspective on that, Carrie, because I think the main thing was the flooding. Before y'all, that's right in the heart of the arts community. The arts is right there in the heart of the arts community. Once you go into that district, you see the arts community. I mean, the forward arts community is right there in that center. So my thing is this. Y'all allowed this to go the way it did, but because it's such community-based, if they could have had their way, they would have just gave it to a developer, let a developer develop it into what they want to. But I think with it being a public space, they had to kind of do this deal a little different. Other than like they did, think about the library. They said, well, that's city owned. You know, mm-hmm. even though that place is city owned, that facility is city owned, but it's more of a public. Let me see. What am I trying to say? But anyway, they just had to do that deal a little different than they did the library. You see, the library, they said, well, people wasn't going down there. You know, mm-hmm. the people coming down there wasn't enough, so they had to just sell it. But we know why they sold it. So you asked me what I thought, Carrie. I just feel like, the arts community, if they can get their numbers together, they collectively are a voice that could, you know, shake up some things, you know, but they just can't stop at what we saw Tuesday night.
But I'm going to tell you what's interesting. That, you know, we talk about task forces. They selectively decide when they're going to listen to a task force. Remember, we had a task force for the redistricting. And they took that out of their hands and did it themselves.
Wow.
Remember the task force that gave the recommendation on police issues in Fort Worth? We saw how that went. Remember they came with all the recommendations about what they thought should happen, and none of that was followed, you know. And so it seems like it's funny that they they pay these people to do all these task forces and come up with all of these recommendations. However, they rarely follow them unless it benefits them. So money's at it.
Well, that's what I would. That's what I'm going to say. What Adrian said and what the caller has said just before this, and what you were alluding to, and what you're really on the spot for. Let's back out of the weeds of this controlled narrative thing that the Fort Worth Wave is always projecting at us. If we back out of the weeds and we go back in history, just like you said, well, why is it this way and this way and this way? What is the correlation? Here's what we were talking about with the art, the community art center thing, Adrian. You're talking about, oh, developer this, public space this. If you look really deep down in, there is a beast going under the radar here, and that is Ann's Data. Ann's Data came on of everything that we've talking about. She is one of the agents of this monster monumental gentrification in Fort Worth. She came on board with Moncrief as a zoning, as a community designer. She came from California. She moved here. She got her master's in Austin and in community engineering or some silly social work thing. But it's sort of the new world. She got a master's degree in gentrification. So she came to work on the zoning commission, and she was one of the drivers. She was one of the drivers of everything that we've been talking about, that community over there in El Corte where they bulldozed on Bluff Street, the near south side, all of the rezoning, all of the things that we're talking about. So this is her playbook that we're keeping on. Now, if you notice, why, if you're talking about the arts community, are you going to have a task force that's led by a businessman, Roy Firestone, who's got all the connections, the Fort Worth Way connections, money, 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 money bags, 777 main gang. He's deep, right? And then you have Zeta, who is the second in command of that, and they both got – they have nothing to do with arts. They aren't connected to those people who came and spoke. And so what you have also, what you got to understand is when they came up with the community arts proposition about this survey and this task force, what they did was they contracted a company called Bennett Partners, which is part of the 777 Main Money Train Gang, downtown Fort Worth Bass family. It's headquarters in their building. It's right upstairs or downstairs from the law firm that Maddie Parker used to work in before she became mayor, or before she became a city chief of staff. It goes on and on. You dig into this and you dig into this and you see the connections, and there's no way that this is why the city isn't transparent and accountable, because if they were being transparent, the people would be burning it down. If we knew the facts that need to be known and that should be known, it would be crazy, because there would be some people going to jail and getting tarred and feathered and exiled out of this town.
I think with your transparency, it does speak to if they were more transparent than those individuals who have been doing these closed door deals and under the table, taking this under the table money, which I'm sure a lot of them are taking under the table money, like JJ said on the commercial. They will expose themselves. So I'm glad you brought up Ms. Zeta, because look, I was kind of liking Ms. Zeta, but you did put another perspective on it, because she was part of that task force. She was sitting at that. She wasn't at in those discussions. So, and as far as Firestone is concerned, I'm gonna get off of this. You see, Firestone did the deals he did, and he got out. Everything Firestone did, it was for those people at he loved the paroles. Whatever connection he got with that paroles, he made sure everything got – listen, Firestone, if he's a businessman, I guess he's a smart businessman. He got his hands – he did what he needed to do, and he got out. Firestone got out. So he – so, yeah.
I agree.
But what you have with that, go ahead, Carrie.
I was going to switch gears because we got a lot of ground to cover. Echo Heights, as much as they have talked about the issues that exist over there. Downtown still hasn't heard them. I mean, when you think about, they're still talking about putting more businesses over in Echo Heights, a community that is already inundated with, you know, a lot of industrial businesses. You know, the fact that the toxic tour has, you know, become like, you know, something everybody's hearing about, but yet they're not addressing the issues. Chris said earlier, Maddie Parker and Martinez running in District 11, Maddie Parker, the mayor of the city, had not even gone over to do the toxic tour. How does that happen? And, you know, the fact that the comprehensive plan that they're trying to put in place didn't even address all the issues that existed in Echo Heights. So you do wonder, like, do they hear these people at all when these people are saying, hey, we dying over here. Hey, this water, you know, the soil, something's going on in the air. You know, people are dying, but yet the city does not seem to care enough to try to fix what's going on in Echo Heights. That's crazy.
And Carrie, to the Echo Heights Stop This Coalition, if anybody from that particular organization is listening, your newly elected council member hasn't taken the tour. She doesn't know what's going on over there. So it will behoove any of you to reach out to her. And this is what I would tell her, despite what they whisper in your ear, whatever come across this table, we don't want it. It's going to be up to that council member to say no, because you notice, like I tell people, those council members don't go against each other. They don't go against each other when it comes to their district. This is your district. So if I'm saying no, I expect everybody else to step in, you know, get in line with me and say no. Carrie, that May 9th meeting that the caller was speaking of, at that same meeting, the Echo Heights and Stop Six Coalition, the small group of them that was there, Miss James, her daughter, now I know her name, I love her, Miss Leticia,
Wilbur,
they were sitting at the back of the room. I was still there. They spoke against the developer that was coming in. Gina said she was going to table it. Of course, Gina going to table it. Gina, you part of this team. You part of the problem, Gina. You don't watch. You pretty much. You pretty much got a slap on the wrist. See, she's pretty much absolved herself of this because it's no longer in her district. See, she doesn't have to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? But she tabled it because she said, "Yes, I said I was going to table it. I'm going to give time for the new councilman." Gina don't care. This is point blank here. But let me tell you what Maddie Parker did. Despite what they're going through, the pain, their emotions, the loss of lives, the livelihoods affected. And, you know, Maddie Parker was still sitting up there saying, making recommendations, letting them know, it's May 9th, y'all. It's archived. This woman was saying this. I was at the back of the room. The woman was telling these women, listen, if you ask me, I think this is good. This is a good, even though it was already tabled, she was telling them, this is good. This is, what? I'm telling you, this is something you need. This is something you need. I'm telling you, listen, y'all, it's there. Adrian does not listen. And I was telling them, no. Why is she up here making these records? No. Why is she telling y'all this? I forgot what I was telling them. But they were sitting up there like, what? Why are you telling them this? Why are you telling them this is good for them when they're telling you they don't want it? You know what I'm saying? So I feel like the one that's coming in.
Let me be clear what you're saying. So we're all clear. You're saying that after Gina Bivens, the council person, said table it, Maddie Parker was trying to push it through?
No, she was letting them know, even though it was tabled, she was letting them know this was good. It's still a good thing to consider, basically.
Oh, wow.
And what I'm going to do, Carrie, while we're on this call, I'm going to go to the meeting, and I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to pull up the audio. So y'all go ahead and do the... this is what I want to say about the newly elected. This is what I want to say about the newly elected council member. She don't have time for District 11. She doesn't have time for District 11. Nobody's telling. Oh, I know that city council is not a full-time position, but she doesn't have time for District 11. She doesn't have time. So I feel like the decision she make as far as District 11 is concerned, she's going to get how should I say, she's going to be somebody that's easily swayed, basically.
Oh, wow.
She's going to be easily swayed. But let me find this audio.
You say she doesn't have time. Are you referring to the fact that
she don't have time
at the county commission?
I don't think she had, well, hold on. When did the county commissioners meet? They meet, what, once a week?
But no, the job is an 8-to-5 job.
So the job is 8-to-5. So this is what I said, Kim. This is my observation of it. If it's an 8-to-5 job, what about the times when the community needs to meet with you? What about the time when the community needs you to come out to an engagement at a certain time, but you can't be there? You know what I'm saying? What about, you know, what about when the community needs you and you're not available because of the 8-to-5? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's all. I'm not saying telling nobody, hey, I understand council is not a full-time job. Nobody's telling you to quit your job. But did you really want this position, or did somebody just put you in that position because you were Hispanic? Let's just keep it real. Y'all said this was a – y'all wanted this – did she really want this position? Because think about it. The people that voted for her, the people that voted, they only – a lot of people voted for her based off of the names that went behind and supported her. That's all it was. Some people didn't vet her. Listen, they used a lot of people, and I'm gonna say this, y'all can. A lot of people have been using Miss Opal Lee's name and image and likeness to push and get things for themselves. I'm sorry, Miss Opal Lee. Wow. No disrespect to Ms. Opal Lee, but a lot of people have been using her to get what it is they want. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it. I agree.
And you know what? There's a lot of people that you know, use her to, or use her you know, brand to benefit themselves. But you were saying what, Chris?
Oh, the thing about Martinez is she got the hug from Sheriff Swayborn and the hug from County Commissioner Precinct 4, Manny Ramirez, and she got that Fort Worth POA sway check in her campaign donation. So pretty much that's the script. It's a wrap, and it's predictable.
Y'all, she's my new council person, so like, I'm a little hopeful. I'm hopeful that something's going to change. I'm just saying. I'm not going to go that far, but I'm just, let's just
And one more thing real quick, Terry. Let me hit something real quick. For the people, if you're listening in Echo Heights, okay, there's an interesting little line you can draw to 2014 or 2015. The law firm, when Maddie Parker got her law degree from Texas Wesleyan, she left working with Kay Granger, and then she went to work for a law firm, I think Nichols, Fitch, and Bogle. It's a law firm that is headquartered in the 777 Main headquarters building for the 777 Main gang. And that company deals specifically with gas and oil transactions, and they have a lot of city – they've been having city contracts for years, helping the city deal with its oil and gas transactions and real estate rights dealing with the oil and gas. And I know that part of what the people in Echo Heights was coming to the city about for a long time was the gas wells that they have out there up on the lake and in their neighborhood, and how the roads don't support those trucks, and how it's an irritating thing when they come and go. And so here's all I got to say is that's probably why Maddie Parker didn't want to go out there, because if Maddie Parker goes out there and she sees what's going on, she's been a part of that. She worked for that law firm that possibly negotiated the deals to get them to get whatever they wanted out of that community, and not have to put down roads or not have to follow any regs or anything like that, you know. That's Maddie Parker's racket. She comes from the state representative who is the monopoly guru of the gas and oil industry in Texas, Tom Craddock, whose daughter is now the Texas Railroad Commission and handles all the regulatory issues of of oil and gas in Texas. So there's a little bit of something there to look to and see if there's any conflict.
Hey, real quick, I got the audio.
Oh.
I got the audio. So, okay, again, it was a May 9th council meeting, which the caller was just, you know, she spoke to, was speaking in reference to. It begins, at, and I see myself getting up to go to the back. But this right after they – this is right after they voted, so I paused it. Right when I paused it, I'm getting up going to the back. I'm about to head out to council chambers. But it's at the 3, if anyone's interested, you can start at the 3 hour and 34-minute mark. That's when, right after Gina Bivens, they vote. And then here go Maddie Parker to let the community know how she feel about it after they said they was against it. Right, here we go.
You can't hear me. I will just say and encourage those that are still here, I understand fully the fears here in Echo Heights that they are unfounded for this particular project. This is the right thing to do. I cannot think of a better partner and developer than Empire. I really wholeheartedly mean that. So I'm encouraging you to take a second look at this particular project to learn more and be excited at that June meeting alongside your new council person, because this is the type of light industrial, beautiful development that you want to help turn things around. You need commercial development in that area that speaks to the neighborhood. I promise you, you do. And this is the type of company you want in that area. It is the right thing to do. So I'm just asking you to look closely at this. Nothing's getting voted on tonight. We're going to continue it to June 27th. But there's much misinformation here, and I do think that this is the right thing to do in this area. With that, we can vote.
Hey, we got receipts, baby.
Whoa.
We got
receipts. That sounds like
she went from being a mayor to the salesperson. I mean, like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, she completely became a salesperson. Oh, my God.
That's what this you is- say. Basically, she's saying, F what you think, feel, and know as a community and as a constituent, and do what I say.
That's
no,
why.
Listen to this real quick. She's saying this deal is already done, baby. So listen, y'all get on board, because now or later, it's going to happen. I mean, that's what that sounds
listen,
like.
And this is why it's imperative for District 11. Mm. Is this no? Is this District 11, right? Yeah. This is District 11. This is why it's important for people of District 11. Y'all better grab a hold of that council member, because I'm telling you, what she said, that they table this. Hold on, they told this coming up in 2 weeks. They could bring this up in 2 weeks. So this new council member, they should push this off again, because this new council member, she ain't even got sworn in yet. Why wasn't she sworn in? Why wasn't she sworn in Tuesday night?
That was
what are they waiting for? Why wasn't she sworn in Tuesday night? So my thing is this: when this thing come up in 2 weeks, I hope they're listening. I hope there's nobody in that community that's taking the whatever they're giving people to shut them up and just go along just to be getting along, go along. But this council member, they better grab her, because I'm telling you, she's gonna be easily swayed. I don't think she's gonna be easily swayed. So I just want people to know that Maddie Parker. Go ahead, you're kidding. I'm sorry.
Get your finish. I'm sorry.
No, I just want people to know Maddie Parker. Just like the caller said, when she said, "Oh, just, we can put it in my community." Okay, Maddie Parker, how about? Can we put this in your community too? This light industrial? Oh no, they not gonna have it over. They not gonna have it over in Ridgely North. They not gonna have it over there in Ridgely North. No, they not gonna have it, Maddie. Sorry.
Well, you know what's amazing though?
It almost seemed like
she was talking to children. You know how how children can be easily persuaded, and so you talk to them in a certain tone, and you know you're very persuasive. Then they'll just come over and say, "Okay." That really sounded like, you know, when you're talking to kids, like, "Okay, what you thought you saw wasn't what you really thought you saw. So listen to me. Forget everything you thought you heard or you thought you saw, and listen to me, because this is good for you. That is like, wow. I'm just saying. Go back and listen for yourself, but that's scary talk, y'all. I'm just saying. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Terry, do you have a call with somebody with their hands up or a call on file? Because somebody's texting me, said they got a question to come on with.
I'm sorry, I see Bob Willoughby. Yes, sir. Good evening, Bob Willoughby. How are you?
Yeah, but it wasn't me Chris is talking about. You know, I don't text, so go ahead and take that call first, and then I'll come back, okay?
I don't see them, Christopher. Okay, if you are listening, you have it. Okay, if you're listening, is who? Is who, Christopher?
Yeah.
Okay, let me say this.
It was the other caller's sister.
Okay, I tell her she has to press 1 because I don't see her on the board. If you have a question or a comment, you have to, first of all, call in at 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. And that person, I do not see them on the board unless they're this number that just popped up. If you are the number that just popped up and you are wanting to speak, all you have to do is press 1, and that lets me know that you want to speak. Otherwise, I don't know. Okay.
Hey, Ken, real quick. Also, okay. Ken, real quick. The June 27th council meeting. Now here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to be mindful of. This is a morning meeting.
Mm-hmm.
This is a morning meeting.
Right.
So
10 a.m. The trick
you see how they playing the games. So my question is, when are they gonna swear this council member in? And what, I don't care if she's sworn in or not. I will be contacting her now and said, hey, we got something coming up and we need you to stand down on it. We need you to, you know what I'm saying? We need you to stand down on it.
Maybe they don't want her in until after their vote.
But they can't vote on it, Carrie. Remember, Gina Bivens, you can't vote on this because they don't have no representation. You can't. Y'all got to take. If y'all don't have no representation, y'all have to continue it because the representation is the only person that can speak for that district. So
good looking out.
I listen, Echo Heights, he just saved y'all tonight. I agree. Y'all, let's go to 314-677. Good evening, y'all. Let's talk four.
Hello, Carrie. How you doing?
Fonzie, Angie, how are you?
You know, I hear people talking in the right direction because much of these problems that you discuss and seem to have starts locally, especially with your state reps. You got to get that, go by that state rep's office, a group of you, and tell them what you want to have done. And I've been doing so down here in Louisiana. And let me tell you how this influence goes. The state legislature had a bill that was going to prevent foreign adversaries and foreigners from owning land and businesses of that sort here in Louisiana, especially the land. So they had a Senate hearing. It wasn't open up for comment because that had passed.
Mm-hmm.
They had it in a room, and the room was full, and the crowd overflowed to the outside.
Oh, yeah.
You know who they were? Chinese.
Ooh.
That was here in Louisiana on a work visa.
Mm.
And they was against the state passing land because they said, you're targeting us. You don't want us to own land in America.
Mm.
So if that's happening here, you can bet it's happening over there too. Matter of fact, one of them was so boisterous, police had to take him out forcibly.
Wow.
So if you got, and these people are not even citizens. They here on a work visa, and they trying to influence politics in your state. So it has gotten just to be that serious. And as you get to investigating and looking at it more, you see. It's you damn near in a fist fight.
Wow.
But you got to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is.
I agree. Thanks for that tip tonight. listen, y'all, and that's what's really going to have to happen, y'all, is that we got to start going in numbers because, you know, an individual, Bob Willoughby can tell you, fighting it by, you know, one person, it's an uphill battle because they just keep dismissing you and dismissing you and dismissing you until you come back with a crowd. But as the caller said earlier, even with 500 signatures, sometimes that's not enough. Or the arts crowd that came out there with 54 people who spoke last Tuesday night, that wasn't even enough. So like tonight's topic said, can they hear you downtown? Bob Willoughby, it's your turn. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, I just want to, well, agents throwed my thunder. I was listening to what y'all was saying there, and I was ready to come on and say, you know, that's a 10 a.m. meeting, you know, and really say something there. But I heard Adrian come on there, and he covered it. He beat me to it. He's going to quit knowing so much. He's making me look stupid. So, nah, I appreciate that. I'm glad he got that out, but he's right. He's spot on. It's 10 a.m. in the morning. That's why they got that setting like that at 10 a.m. That's what that 10 a.m. morning meeting is for, all those things that are controversial to put there. And your last caller from Louisiana, I'm glad he called in because I like to hear what the people's got to say in other cities and what they might open their eyes up to, what's going on right beneath our noses. You know, it's really easy to be happening here. So I was glad for him to call in and hear that comment, and I'd love to hear from anybody else across the states, too, on their city and that. But, yeah, that's mainly what I was just pushing in for, Carrie. I heard that. I thought I heard y'all say the 27th, and I thought that's the 10 a.m. meeting. And that. So anyway, I'll, you know, be down there. But that's, you know, it's unbelievable. But that's what that's for, to make it hard for people to get there. Okay. I appreciate you taking my call, Carrie.
Well, Bob, speak on this, how hard it is when you're down there every week and you don't have a crowd behind you.
Oh, it's not hard for me because I don't go down there expecting anything. Now, if I went down there expecting something out of them, that'd probably be very frustrating and, you know, but I'd go down there to bitch. I ain't got nothing else to do. I need to stay away from the TV and eating Oreo cookies and watching Perry Mason. And I just tend to go down there. And also I get to lobby a little bit and meet people and a little bit of this and that. But, yeah, but we ain't going to get nothing done, though. You know, I'm talking to a brick wall, and a lot of us are. But I am going to start. I'm starting the procedures now, and I'm going to redo my trailer. I'm putting 2 5-foot by 10-foot signs on there that and I'm going to hit the parking lots and set up and try to get signatures or emails to join the email list. Because if I can grow that email list, that's when they set up and started paying attention to me. As if I got over a couple hundred emails, I started getting responses. But then my email list kind of stopped. And they see that. And they know it's not growing. So it's not frightening them anymore. But if I can make that email list grow up to 1,000 or something, they see that growing, they'll pay attention. And I'm going to hit the parking lots like Home Depot and Walmart all around the city, kind of like, and just spend a half a morning out with the big signs. And I hadn't decided what I'm going to put on the 5-foot by 10-foot signs, whether it'll be Fort Worth's KKK Mayor Matty Parker, or if it'll be that ignorant bubble-headed bleach blonde is destroying the city. I don't know what, but I'm going to think of everything and what would be the best to draw attention. And, you know, not you can't go conventionally or that because we're not getting any attention. We've got to shake it up somehow or another. I got one, I think, really. Hear about Matty Parker and Crane's affair.
Oh, no.
Would that draw some attention? We could start a soap opera, huh?
I'm not going here. Bob, let me ask you this real quick before we let you go. You know, we were talking earlier about recall. Tell us what your thoughts were about doing a recall and whether or not you feel like they're effective or can actually happen.
Well, I hate to rain on anybody's bubble or anything like that because who knows, you know, what might be right or wrong to me. But I think it's a lot of work to try to do recall. I think the numbers are too high to try to get anybody. And my thing is, if you can't get 100 people just to call in and bitch, I don't know how, you know. That's why I'm going around to these parking lots and trying to, you know, rebelize, you know, or try to get people, try to find that few out there that still have patriotism. And that it's so hard, and they know it. They know they got the numbers set like that, and people are so conditioned not to, you know. But, you know, I applaud anything, and I'll support anything. I'll support a recall. I'll support putting leaflets on the trailer, too. And the way my trailer set up was I used it, let's see, right for the pandemic, whatever, I used it on election, going to the parks, trying to do candidates in the park. Of course, I was the only candidate in the park. I was the only person in the park, I think. But anyway, I had set up where a shelf on the side of the trailer where it could, you know, sign up, take leaflets, that. So anyway, I'm going to do a little traveling circus show if I can. That's what I'm working on, redoing this and building the frame for the trailer. My neighbor welding a complete, it's a 5-foot by 10-foot sign, and wanting them back to back, so they'll say the same thing on each side. And then pull in these parking lots and spend an hour or so while it's kind of cool and have some coffee and see if anybody wants to come up and talk. But it depends on what you got on the sign. That's the key thing.
Here's a quick idea. Hey, that next meeting is at 10 o'clock in the morning, so the crisis intervention team should be on the clock. So what I recommend is somebody calling that crisis intervention team to go ahead and give Elizabeth Beck some MHMR, and maybe we can get her committed and declared unfit for office.
Mom, thank you.
Thank you, Karen. She's right. She is. Well, they're all unfit for office. But anyway, appreciate it. Thank you. Keep up.
Hey,
thank you.
I think that other caller's got their hand up.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the first caller. Maybe she's with her. My first caller,
hello.
Is your sister with you?
Not physically,
okay.
But in spirit, yes.
I'm looking for her on the phone line, and I still have not found her. Is she supposed to be calling in?
If she was calling in. Let me ask her to call back in.
Because I don't see her. But I'm going to say this. Never say it can't happen. Recall, because I think that's the only thing that's going to get the attention of this council. That they understand that no man is safe if you don't do your job. Because you're put in those positions to do a certain job for the community or for the district you represent. But at any time in which you feel like you are above that, then recall should definitely be something that's important. So, okay, I'm going to say this again. If you're a caller and you want to speak tonight, you have to press 1. There's a lot of callers on the line, and I don't know to come to you to press 1. Then I know 718. Can you give me the digits to her phone number?
The last 4 are 8049.
Okay, let's go to her now. Okay, good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 995, good evening.
Hello,
sister. Hi.
Oh, I didn't know I was on. I was just listening. I didn't press 1 on purpose. I was just listening. But listen, I can't talk long. I have a toddler that doesn't let me talk on the phone very long. I just want to say, this is Christina Placencia Snoke. My sister was on earlier. I can't really, she covered a lot of stuff. I just want to say that I would really like to see a lot of us. I mean, I want to gather like a group from Southside, maybe like 33 people, maybe like Northside or anybody wanting to represent the Black community for Echo Heights or police brutality. Maybe a 33 from there, go like 100 of us to city council, open comment. And at the end of all of our speeches, I don't know why we can't just throw in at the end, I stand with Bob Willoughby on open comment, going to 6 people for 6 minutes and bringing back our open comment, you know, on whatever days. I'm not as well versed as he is. But if we have a lot of people there anyways, I don't see what skin off of our back it is to throw in at the end, I stand with this group. I mean, we really should say any other group. We say our little speech from Southside and say, I stand with Northside, I stand with Echo Heights, and I stand with Bob Willoughby. Bring back, you know, the open comment on this time. So that's just what I want to say. We can organize it. We can do it. You know, we just all need to stand together, and we need to support each other, and that's the only way we're going to do it. We can't be just standing for our own things. We have to stand for each other. So that's all I got to say on that. I got to go, but it was nice chatting. And
thank you.
She just got a nugget and ran.
I know Bob Willoughby is grinning so big. Bob, did you hear that?
Am I on?
Did you hear that?
On there?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, yeah. People got to quit saying it makes my head get too big, you know. That's great, though. I really appreciate that. You know, we also all got to stand together. That's it. And like she's spot on right there. You know, we got to get our comment back and take us. That's the most easiest thing to do. And they're laughing at us because they took away our right to speak, and we're not fighting about it. So they are just laughing, and I see it, and I hate it. But, it's the easiest thing to do. Remember me telling you, Carrie, when I said let's move it from the bottom to the top, it's the most easiest thing to do, it's going to be the most hardest thing to do. And that's the way that's the way the system is, kind of like the most, sometimes the easiest thing's the hardest thing. But anyway, I appreciate that caller, and if we can get more people like that on board, we can actually make some progress. You know that? We could if we get more people. That's very, very exciting, and all the time I spent, it's worth it when I hear something like that. So I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
And you know what, y'all, to speak on that, this city council is, in my opinion, so childish that when they do hear you, they do intentional things to make you look bad. And I say that because Bob Willoughby kept saying change and put us at the top of the agenda. And Thomas went down there and spoke multiple times to make the point about the fact that they were not reading the description of each agenda item. And they made specific changes just to make fun of two speakers who spoke regularly at council. So that just tells you there's a twisted way of thinking down there now, because instead of saying, Bob, you know, or Thomas, we agree with you or we disagree with you about, you know, what you want to have done and why, instead they intentionally change the process of the way that we do business down there just to annoy two people. To me, that was the biggest example of poor leadership that I've seen in a long time. Y'all agree with that? The way they did that was just, that was the worst leadership I've ever seen.
I do, and I want to throw something at Bob real quick. We was talking about Robert's rules and this and that and no shouting from the audience. Those are technical. But here's another thing. I've watched this going on in cities across Texas and around the country. And Peyton Jackson does it on a routine basis. I've seen her do it in Fort Worth, and I've seen her do it in other cities that she visits. When they interrupt your time, you are on the record. So when you are at that podium, your name is called, and you are at that record, and they start interrupting you and condescending and start bantering with you, clap your hand three times. Point of order, hold your tongue until the bell.
Wow.
You can do that.
Hey, Carrie, quick observation, y'all. Like Carrie stated, I'm one of the people. I'm an optimist. I guess I'm an optimist. I'm an optimist. So I don't believe in the notion, the term of never. You know what I'm saying? Never, because think about this, you all. Remember, one thing I carry with me in my heart to this day is one man. Listen, you all. One man from Arlington, Texas, didn't like the way things were being done as it pertains to their elected officials. Guess what he did? One man petitioned his community, got an initiative put on the ballot for term limits, and guess what? The Arlington elected officials are now term limited. One man, not a thousand people had a gripe. Well, not when I say gripe, I don't think they gripe, because we say gripe, they say, oh, he complain. No. One man who thought within himself, damn, something needs to change. So if one person can petition, don't know how many he petitioned, how many people he got to believe in what he was trying to do, but somebody believed in it. One person was able to do that. We can do this, y'all. I think we can do this, because we're not dealing with nothing federal. This is the local stuff. This is local, and we are growing. See, we gotta realize this, y'all. People that are coming here, a lot of them vote in the municipalities that they come from the cities and, you know, towns and states, whatever they come from. So you think they're going to leave one place and come to another place and still not be involved in the political, the political undertakings or their livelihoods? And think about this, y'all. The California people come from California. They leave in California because California is the price, the cost of living is getting outrageous. Is Fort Worth headed that way?
Yep.
Is Fort Worth headed that way? So to my California people, to the California people, we need you, because you all are coming from something that we are going into. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I believe we can do it, y'all. I believe we can do it.
I think in my opinion, this is what has to happen. First of all, I think downtown has got to understand the people run this city, not the leadership. The leadership is appointed. Anytime anything is appointed or elected, or they can always be unappointed. And I think, or I don't know if unemployment is a word, but they can be taken down. And so I think at some point, if this train does not get back on track, that's going to have to happen in order that that they understand. They always say if you have multiple enemies, you take out the biggest one first. I think, in my opinion, take out the biggest one first, and the rest will fear. And I think that's what's going to have to happen at some point, because otherwise this is not turning out right. I mean, we're seeing billions and billions of dollars being moved around downtown. However, we don't even hear the description of the item before it's voted upon. The council people sometimes are confused. The mayor is confused about which item they're even voting on. I mean, you have speakers that go downtown to speak, and they're confused as to which agenda item am I speaking on. Adrian, I've seen you do that, and they won't even tell you what you're speaking on. Or they try to make you look stupid, like, well, you asked to speak, so you ought to know what you're speaking about. Can you speak on how they do that and how ridiculous that is?
Yes. Yes, I can, okay. Karen. I just sent you a text as well. So, as it relates to that, Carrie, it's like, see, I don't want people to know that. I realize who do the work. The staff do the work. The council just vote. They don't shit. You look at the work sessions. Oh, you want me to go to the work sessions?
Oh, wow.
You look at the work sessions. It's like they are in those positions because of the recognition it gives them, you know, the appearance it gives them, but they don't give a damn about the work. They just like that, and not all of them. Let me just say it, because I don't want to put them all, but they're in that position because it makes them look a certain way. You know what I'm saying? It makes them look a certain way. So what I'm trying to do is I want people to know that they don't even know what they're voting on. That's one thing I'm doing. I'm trying to show people they don't know what they're voting on. And two, a lot of this stuff they're pushing through, it has our livelihoods attached to it. You know? It's not just individual districts, but let alone you got districts they deal with, but when they start doing stuff collectively to vote on, you know, stuff that it's a lot of stuff that's going to affect our livelihoods. And I know a lot of people livelihoods are comfortable. Because I think we got a lot of people in the city who are comfortable. They are comfortable living the way they are living, and they haven't got hit yet, you know, with the reality of what's going on. So people need to know that's not how – I want people to know that's not how politics work.
Mm.
Why are you going to – you can't just vote for somebody. And I have to learn it doesn't just stop with you voting. It doesn't stop with you just voting. You have to also be. You have to be accountable for your vote, because when you vote for a particular person, you holding yourself to that vote, and then you holding that person accountable to why you supported them. You know what I'm saying? So, it's important to me. I'm not just up the motion and trying to get a. You know, when people, I'm just not up the motion just doing something. I'm actually going through these agenda items. I'm reading the language. I'm seeing the. But since they changed things the way they are now, damn, what I gotta now I gotta pay pick your poison, because I can't speak on what I want to speak on. So now I have to go in there. If I sign up for three items, if it's all consent, I'm speaking on all three items. That's why I've been telling people, if you're following along, for those who had printouts, because they had printouts at the beginning of the council meeting. They only have so many of them though, out in the lobby area. They only have so many of them. So you get a printout. For those who are following along, page 12, item number, blah, 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 and then that's when I start referencing things. So I don't know what to do, Carrie. I'm like, I don't know what to do now, because the only other time I can really freestyle it is, what, public comments? And damn. But I'm concerned more about the business. I'm concerned about the livelihood of the people of Fort Worth. I see the direction we're going in, and it's not good, because you know what it is, Carrie and Chris, y'all know what it is? They are so caught up on this modernization. They want to be this city so bad. It's like they're trying to compete with Arlington.
Austin.
You, Austin,
I call it,
San Antonio.
I call it,
Think about Arlington. Listen, one thing I say about Arlington, I respect about Arlington,
Arlington is becoming an entertainment district. Fort Worth, we don't have the capacity for this. So y'all can forget about that. But what I respect about Arlington is, guess what? You see Arlington's law enforcement. You see their PD. You see them. They are visible around the clock. Arlington PD is visible around the clock. That's all I want with Fort Worth. Why are y'all not visible? But somebody said, you know what somebody told me the other day? Because they're spending all the money on technology. They're sitting back watching cameras instead of – they're sitting back waiting for things to happen instead of being in the community. So
that makes
sense. I can go on and go on, but, yeah, Kerry, that's – I do what I do because I do what I do because for the people.
They're watching the dissidents instead of the criminals.
That part. Let me say this. One thing I noticed with listening to the people from the arts community the other night, pay attention to how, and this is no shade, this is just an observation, how a lot of them went down there and they were like, I'm three and four generations. You know, my grandfather built this, my mother was in this, and my brother did this. You know, they were saying, hey, before you make any decision, I think I need to have a seat at the table. And I was just amazed. It almost seemed like they had a sense of entitlement. Not that that's a bad thing, because they're residents here in Fort Worth and they're part of the community, and they felt like they had a right to whatever, you know, decision-making was going to be taking place, that they have a hand in it. However, here you got the Rosemont community who is constantly being overlooked by their city council person as though they don't have any say in anything. We don't have to tell you we're closing your library. We don't have to tell you we're putting a building in your community. We don't, you know what I'm saying? So you see the difference, you know, in how things are moving in this city. It seems like if you're in a certain status, then the city respects you and wants you to feel like that they care about what you think. However, if you're a part of the black and brown community and, you know, and not at a certain economic level, then we make decisions for you because you're not intelligent enough to make them for yourself. That's ridiculous. So it almost says that the title of this show is absolutely in line with what's going on downtown. Can they hear you downtown? Absolutely not if you're not of a certain status, certain color, certain group. In this city. That's really how it's feeling overall. And that's a bad place for this city to be at, in my opinion, because it's 2023 and we're all having to pay our share of taxes. So you can take my money at any time you get ready, raise taxes, you know, anytime you get ready, but I don't get a say as to what you do and how you do it in the city. Something's wrong with that. So, y'all, listen, I say get involved. Downtown, city council meetings are every Tuesday, except for the month of July, in which they will not be there. I understand the next public comment is all the way in August. There will not be another public comment, I understand, for the rest of this month. And the next one will be in August. And I think, from what I understand, there is a city council meeting. Let me clarify that. I say that. Adrian, so let me understand, is there a city council meeting this coming Tuesday?
The coming up council meeting is, let me see, what's the 20th?
The 20th.
They got one at, 5:30. It says 5:30 p.m., city council chamber, city hall election canvas. Let me see if it's an agenda, what the agenda is, if it's a long, something short or long, because they said it's at 5:30. Okay, pulling up the agenda. No, it's just I think they just swearing. Yeah, they just swearing in a runoff election held on June 10th, 2023 for the purpose of electing city council members. So Ms. Martinez will be sworn in.
On
Tuesday. She's getting sworn in on Tuesday.
Okay. And then, so
guess what? There'll be an opportunity to go down there and purse, because they can't stop you from talking to nobody. I'm going to try my best to get something together. Type up something. Something that I'm saying, hey, I'm not going to hold you up. I'm not going to sit here and talk you to death. Take this and read this and let it be. In your own personal time, read this, and that's how I'm going to do mine. I'm not going to even let nobody know I'm trying to reach out to her. So
let me understand. So next Tuesday, they're not going to have a city council meeting. They're going to take the whole day and dedicate it to swearing in one person.
Yep. Resolution canvassing the returns, declaring the results of the runoff election held on June 10, blah, 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 for the purpose of electing city council member for District 11. Yep, that's what they're doing, Karen.
Okay. Do y'all see how that's working? They just do what they want to do, and then the next city council meeting will be on the 27th at 10 a.m.
Yep.
And then they're out of there for a whole month, and then they'll
whole
be
month.
In August. Okay. Yeah. Y'all, that's how it's going down. That's how it's going down in Fort Worth, Texas. Listen, thank you, the audience, for listening tonight. Thank you to callers for calling in and chiming in on tonight's topic. Do us a favor and follow us on Facebook. Facebook under Let's Talk Fort Worth is always popping on that page. Y'all, listen, if you haven't already followed and liked the page, please do so. Also, remember, y'all, the power belongs to the people. And if we allow our power to be taken, shame on us. And if it takes a recall in order to get folks to act like they got some act right in them, then a recall is what it shall be. Listen, y'all, this Wednesday, the 21st, I will be interviewing the Judge Joe Brown, the reality TV judge, about his run for mayor of Memphis. He's going to be on from 7 to 9 p.m. on the 21st. That should be a really great interview. All right, y'all, keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we tell you exactly what's going on downtown. Until next Wednesday night, good night.